One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
I'm so happy to be back in this room with these two guys. Wow, that sounded like gay porn.
Yeah.
Sorry we missed last week.
I heard the cables out.
Pizza for you.
Anything going on, Dave? You had a show last night. How was that?
Yeah, we all know Winston's, the dive bar in OB.
Of course. Made famous by Doug Stanhope talking about it in his books. He plays there often.
Yeah, and Joey Diaz has done that room a couple times.
Right, right.
It's weird to see a guy at that level doing a dive bar. But,
right.
But we've worked that room. We kind of came up there. Yeah, exactly. So we all know it can be really hit or miss.
Of course.
Like, you can have a great night there, or you can have the worst night of your life.
And it happens, by the way, on the same night. We did a show there a while back where we all had really good sets, but some of the people literally right up to us did not luck.
Yeah, the tides can turn very easily that room.
Now, our buddy, Alan Henderson, he runs that room. So he booked me like a month or so back to headline, 20-minute set. And I kind of forgot about it until this week. He's like, oh, Winston's. I was like, oh, shit, that's right. So I'm like, okay, Winston's, like we said, dive bar, a little more forgiving. Like, you can do darker material there.
Yep.
So that's what I want to do. I'm like, let me go back and get all my old jokes, my cancer jokes, my God is dead jokes, all that shit. Let me do that set at Winston's.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of prepping for it. I'm getting there. I go to the bar a little bit after show started. 7 people there. So right off the bat, I'm like, oh, okay, this night's going to be a miss.
Okay,
and the hit or miss things, this is a miss.
And, you know, it's good to establish that early and often, because then you can go, all right, you accept it, you register it.
Yeah.
And you just go, all right, so tonight's going to suck, and that's just part of comedy.
So I made the decision, I'm going to stick with the dark shit that I had planned on. Now, with a smaller crowd, it's harder to pull that off.
Right.
Let me ask you about, because with 7 people, you can gauge, obviously, who's in there.
Yes, absolutely.
What kind of 7 folks are we talking about? Are we talking about young college girls that
there
are drinking?
A couple, another couple, and what looked like a family.
Give me some age groups here.
The chick may have been about 30 and her boyfriend.
Okay.
Then another couple next to them, similar age.
Okay.
And then the family, I call it a family, it looked like a couple of older people, like in their 60s or 70s, and maybe their son who's in his 30s.
All right. So, okay.
Yeah,
so,
not exactly the dark crowd you've
right,
been looking
exactly,
for. You
right.
don't want couples. You don't want old people.
Now, I opened with, all right, you guys, I'm supposed to do 20 minutes. We all know that none of us wants that to happen, so we'll just see how this goes.
All right. Okay.
I said that to the crowd. Then I told them I was going to go dark. I was like, listen, this is going to be really dark. If you want to go outside and smoke, you're not going to hurt my feelings. If you want to turn around, it's cool. I have no feelings left. Let's just do this.
you'll be able to tell when you hear the material. Yeah. It's dark.
So I did my first joke. It's sort of a joke about how my friend got cancer and started believing in God. So it's basically a joke about God isn't real.
Okay.
The younger couple.
That's
the first
dropper.
Couple. Yeah. The chick was kind of into it, and the guy was laughing. Not much reaction from the rest of them.
Right.
So I was like, all right, you guys, you don't seem like you're into it, but I got another one, so it's going to get darker. And then
so
I told
you,
a joke.
You took no cues from the audience at all.
I let them know what I'm doing. I said, this is what's happening.
And you just said you have other material you could have done, though.
Yes,
you
absolutely.
Know what Dave did? He did the
hey, that's integrity. I got to tell you, one thing I'll say about you, you never pander.
You know, there
even
are,
when it means you'll do better.
There are sometimes when you pull your car up and there's a bunch of people crossing the street. Maybe it's a parade. Maybe it's some kind of event getting out. And you have some choices. You can sit there and honk the horn. You can turn
or
around.
Or you can play Pop That Pussy by Two Live Crew.
Or you can do what Dave does, which is I'm going to rev the motor. And then if you're still in the way when I get going, that's your bad.
Okay. All right. I understand that.
I've actually done that.
Yeah.
Now, my next joke, it's a joke that I like. My cousin died of cancer 2 years ago. And I wrote a joke about him dying of cancer. To me, it's very funny. There's humor in it.
Yeah.
And if I can't get a joke on my cousin dying, then what was it for? You know
right.
what I mean? So I tell the joke. They kind of like that one a little bit more because there's certain tags and they get laughs. So the two couples were kind of laughing. The family still hated me. But then I was like, all right, you guys, you know, those are my cancer jokes. Should I keep going? What do you guys want? The guy who was with the younger chick, he yells out, go darker.
Oh.
I let that hang for a second. I said, darker than my cousin dying of cancer? I don't think I can. I mean, that's as dark as
I've not been molested, so we're out of luck
right.
here.
He just walks down and stabs one of the audience members.
I ended up giving him a gladiator moment. I was like, all right, you guys, thumbs up, thumbs down. You want me to keep going or you want me to stop? Let's do this.
Sounds terrible.
I know you're not going to hurt my feelings, so what do you think? I got 2 thumbs up from the couple. The middle table didn't do anything. Then the family, the young guy actually gave me a thumbs up. But the parents didn't do anything. So I was like, all right, parents, I'm counting that as thumbs down. We'll call it a draw. We'll keep going.
Yeah.
But for the guy to tell me to go darker than that.
It's just a weird thing to do.
I like it, though. He's being supportive. He's telling you, hey, you haven't hit a limit.
No, I get being supportive. But seriously, how can you go darker than that?
What
is he expecting?
I've seen Cannibal Holocaust.
He's also taking the pressure off you because now everybody else who's like, I can't believe that comedian said something. They're like, wow, I guess some audiences like it even worse.
So I was at the gym today, and Bobby, tell me if you've noticed this. When you're at the gym, there's always either guy or girl. This is one of those few things that's done equally by both genders, is there's always someone that's just invented their own exercise they're doing.
And, oh, yeah.
And it's wildly uncomfortable and awkward and weird.
Yeah.
They're usually using the machine in the commission of their own invented exercise, but they got their foot where their ass should go. They're holding on to something they should be pulling on to, but they're not. They're just kind of bracing themselves.
Right.
And they're like jerking their head in like some sort of weird sprinkler motion.
Yeah.
And you just want to go up to them and be like, What's going on here? Like, what do you? Here's what I want to say to him. Look around. There's a lot of in shape people here. Are any of them doing what you're doing? Like, are they even close? Are you such an innovator that you think this is the thing that you totally can't? No one taught you this.
Here's the weird thing, though. I don't know if you've had this experience. I've gone through physical therapy before where they teach you these bizarre-ass maneuvers that have nothing to do with anything you're supposed to be doing on the equipment. And then they're like, all right, just go do this. And now you're the guy in the gym doing, like, pop squats on top of the bench press, and you're hoping, all right, I get everybody's looking at me. You want a sign on your back that said a physical therapist told me to do this.
I think there should be a vest like dogs have. If you don't have one of those vests, you need to stop what you're doing immediately.
I like this. This is good for me too, because I also like that it distinguishes between the people who come up with the weird exercise that they just thought was good and somebody who's been advised by a professional.
guys that do the weird exercise, like I've talked to some of those guys before, and it's usually something like, yeah, these guys, look around, these guys might be in shape, but is that functional muscle? Like, I'm building functional muscle.
Right. And where did you get that information is what I need to know. Did a kinesiologist give you this information? Or did you just in your head in your apartment go, you know what? If I just jerk the, you know, I think I'm onto something here. And like, the thing is, Bobby, what do you think the percentage is between the scenario you're describing,
right,
where a physical trainer was like, listen, you're going to look weird, but this is going to rebuild that torn rotator cuff?
Yeah.
And the people that went, you know, I don't need a trainer.
Yeah, that's
up with this shit.
That's a good question. And A, I don't think we should skip over the amazing innovation you just made, which would divide this and allow us to take very accurate statistics. This is brilliant, by the way.
Thank you.
This is like one of those Corolla things where he comes up with something that's really, really smart and the world should change because of it. So good job on that. Number two, there's definitely the people who are doing it just because they made it up. And you know that when it's something that you are an expert in. Every once in a while, I'll see somebody trying to hit a heavy bag or something along those lines, doing it just doing weird spastic movements that are guaranteed to hurt you.
Bro, this is how you'd really do it in a street fight.
Guys punching full force with no wraps or no gloves or just stupid things that you see. And every once in a while, I will actually go up to those people and I'll be like, just so you know, you're really in danger of breaking your wrist right now.
And then he hands him a vest.
So I know for a fact there has to be those, but that's a really good question. What is the percentage? Because I'll tell you, those physical therapy workouts, one is physical therapy, occupational therapy is really common when you get hurt at work, and they're bizarre-ass workouts that look like you're just an idiot who made up your own thing. But at the same time, there's a lot of idiots making up their own things. I think we need to do a questionnaire.
Yeah. I think we stand at the front. They're going to think we're with Greenpeace, but we're not. We'll be wearing the vests.
Right.
So anyways.
Now, wait a second. What if the physical therapist, what if they're fucking with people?
They're just making
up. Kind of a boring job. Like, hey, check out what I got my client to do.
So it's basically, it's like Impractical Jokers, and they're just one physical therapist and another one is having a constant contest.
Trying to outdo each other.
I went to college for 4 years, and all I'm doing with it is making people look retarded at Choose Fitness.
See if you can get your guy to take a dump in the middle of the gym. Tell him it's for his back. First of all, you're a physical therapist and you listen to this show, I hope you're taking notes. Between the vest and this prank game,
by the
really
way,
up in your day.
The heavy bag thing, by the way, is there's always these people that say, oh yeah, I got a heavy bag to take my anger out on, or I'm getting a heavy bag for my teenage daughter, you know, to take her anger out on. I'm like, okay, first of all, it sounds like you're getting mad and just teeing off on a heavy bag with either no gloves or certainly not with your hands wrapped. Let me just make this clear to all you people out there that have never had any fight training. You should not work a heavy bag unless you first learn how to wrap your wrists and hands.
Yeah.
That's number one. You are in danger, like Bobby said, of hurting, if not breaking, your wrists. So I would like to see the people that get angry and know that they have to first wrap their hands and be like, just sit there, fucking bitch. Oh, I can't believe she would even do it. Oh, shit, I screwed up the little. Right, here we go. Start over.
You're actually, like, this is actually a mathematical truth. Unless you're punching the stud, you're better punching the wall. You have more give in drywall than you do in a heavy bag. And it's something my old boxing coach used to yell at people all the time when he'd come in and see him. He said, if you are punching a heavy bag without wraps and your wrist is not broken, it's only because you suck at punching. Like that is the only reason, because if you are punching correctly with the right amount of force, unless you are punching perfectly, if you are punching with the right amount of force, you're going to snap your wrist. So you're doing two things wrong at this point.
Back in New Jersey, I stayed at the Shore House. Me and my, I teased my cousin about being fat and Filipino so hard that he fucking got mad and punched a wall, broke his hand.
Yeah.
And so after that, and I was like, he was already mad. But what made it worse is at dinner every night, we were all sitting around the fucking table. I kept singing, I fought the wall and the wall won. I fought the wall and the wall won. He gets so mad and he'd try and like swing at me, but his hand was broken, right. So he couldn't even connect. It was great. It was a great summer.
If you're going to punch a wall, always go in a stud bay. Never hit a stud. That's the way to do it.
Now, speaking of bad fight technique, Bobby, you showed us a commercial before the show today.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know if anyone's, you know, this day and age, there's, you know, we're seeing less and less commercials, but if you have seen it, or if you've not seen it, it's a Jose Cuervo, or no, I think it's 1800.
Cuervo, yeah.
Cuervo 1800. Okay, that's the same thing, I forgot.
Yeah.
All right, it's this guy, grizzled-looking Latino man, very, very fuckable, too, I'd blow him.
Yeah, it's a juxtaposition between his super elegant side, where he's a professional piano player at a bar
of
some form.
I don't know who's writing these, by the way, because previous to this ad campaign, there was one with Ray Liotta because just walks into a roadhouse because that's where Liotta hangs out.
Yeah.
He goes to a fucking desert sidebar on the way to Yuma and just walks in, and the guy like goes, "What do you want?" He just glares at him and he brings him an 1800. I'm like,
now, Ray Liotta usually plays a creep in movies,
right.
So I don't know what you're going for with this.
Yeah, it's like, hey, are you a creepy guy that usually plays a guy that hits his wife? Well, have we got a tequila for you?
Cuervo 1800. It covers up the taste of roofies.
Yeah. It'll be a good defense when you go to court that you were on a shitload of that stuff. So anyways, this new commercial, handsome gentleman with a beard. He kind of looks like maybe either a mix between Dominic Cruz and Jose Dos Santos.
Okay.
You think? Yeah, would you
A little bit.
Okay. Either way.
Yeah, yeah, he's a very attractive looking dude, and they show him doing the juxtaposition as him playing this very
at night. He's
song.
Wearing a very slim suit, thin tie, very hip.
Yeah.
And he's in a hip night bar where, you know, only cool people know about it. There's probably no sign.
Right. Yeah, he's playing his music, but he's flashing back to earlier in his day where he went to his boxing gym and gets into the ring and he wraps his hands and now he's sparring with his sparring partner. And all of that sounds great until when you're watching it. All of a sudden, as the music intensifies, it's supposed to pump the people up, you see that he's not going to be pushed over, and he starts just throwing full power uppercuts at his opponent.
Oh, and left hooks and overhand rights and full power. We're not going 30%.
Right.
Again, for those of you that have never trained in fighting, the most you should be doing in a sparring type situation is 50% of what you can do physically.
Full speed, half power is usually a top for sparring. So
I can't go half power, bro. I gotta go full power. That's all I can do. That's all I know.
That. So he's doing it until he eventually horribly injures his sparring partner and then looks with this satisfied look on his face like, yes, I'm steely and determined. And I turned to my wife when I saw this. I was like, that guy's a sociopath. If anybody ever walked into a boxing gym and then started throwing full power uppercuts and hooks at their sparring partner because they got pissed. Like, the whole point, the arc of the commercial is he's getting beat by his partner in the sparring match and then he starts throwing. That is a sociopath.
Yes. Yeah, show me just an actual boxing event. Show me an amateur boxing event. He should be wearing headgear. But
true.
Yeah. By the way, sparring, no headgear.
Right.
Now, wait a second. You guys, you both are just missing the point of this. This is not, he's not sparring. He works at one of those dueling piano bars. The guy he's fighting is the other pianist. And it got to a point where, like, all right, we're going to fucking actually duel. Let's do this shit. So then he gets to play piano by himself that night.
Oh, speaking of commercials, by the way, fellas, I just shot one for Soapy Joe's.
That's one of the best gay porn places in all of San Diego.
Soapy Joe's is a line of car washes. And in the commercial that I just shot, which airs probably next month, me and a myriad of other types of folks proposed to our vehicles.
Okay.
And we're
time out. I can't just let that slide. That's fucking weird. Like,
yes,
who came up with
it? Not me.
I ask you what stunt vehicle they had playing your wife?
a Toyota Tacoma.
Oh, your old truck. Okay.
Yes. Nice. You know, they nailed it. Now, they wanted to make sure that it shows all sorts of folks and their types of car. So it's a soccer mom at a soccer field.
Okay.
Proposing. And by the way, we're proposing not marriage, but that we get a Soapy Joe's membership. Right?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Are you on one knee?
At one point, I am.
Okay.
And then I decided to make a choice, an acting choice. This was not the director, but he loved it. I leaned in and kissed the vehicle.
Wow.
All right? And everyone cracked up, and they're like, that's great. That's going in the commercial, but we need a few more takes of that. I'm like, I have fucked myself.
Yeah.
I had to kiss that fucking car 15 fucking times. And by the way, at one point, the director stepped in. I was kissing the bumper. He goes, don't kiss the car right here. Kiss the car up here at the headlight. That would make more sense. And I went, oh, yes. That would make more sense. Kissing the vehicle here would be ludicrous.
At what point?
But the headlight. Mm.
At what point did they break it to you that the car probably has car herpes? They should have disclosed in the beginning. They didn't know you were going to go lip to lip.
No, they said, oh, fuck, this camera's not been on.
No, then the director's like, okay, you know what? Go around back, stick your tongue in the tailpipe, reach underneath, and like touch the axle.
So immediately after this commercial, apparently the director was psyched. He thought I did a good job. And so immediately after this, I got my agent, Michael, calls me, and I have gotten an offer for a second gig, which I turned down.
It was for a proctology office. He didn't want to do the kissing.
This time, they wanted me to be in a, you know, training videos for office companies?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes.
They wanted me to be in the sexual harassment awareness video.
You did perfect.
Oh, God, that's great.
And I said, no. He went, come on, man, it pays a lot. I'm like, I know what role they want.
You didn't even have to ask. We all know what role they want.
I don't think it's going to be the victim. I don't think that there's going to be a hot redhead like, come on, Ryan, don't you want this promotion? I go, I don't think that's going to be going on at all. I think I'm the guy that leans over the copier and says, hey, Linda, nice tits. And I don't want to be that guy. And by the way, those are shown to offices everywhere. This Soapy Joe's commercial is going to be airing just in San Diego.
Right.
So when I go to the grocery store once in a while, I'll be like, hey, fag, go kiss my car.
Yeah.
I'm prepared for that, and I'm fine with it. But I don't need fucking Lindas all over this great nation to have seen that and going, God, that guy's really believable with that. And then see me in a comedy club and go,
Here's the downside you might be thinking, though, Ryan. Here, or I guess the upside to actually doing it that you might have overlooked. Technically, that'd be a national credit. So from now on, you could be introduced on stage as the harasser from the Amazon warehouse.
Carl, the office worker with no boundaries.
All right. You know him as the guy who doesn't know when to curb the rape jokes in the office place.
First of all, that's awesome. Second of all, you absolutely should have done that commercial.
No, not a commercial. It's a fucking training video. I want to talk about an offer I got, another offer I turned down. Okay, so I forwarded this to Dave. We talked about it just a couple days ago. Recently, I got an offer. This happens a lot. Is people that work in bars that follow me online, they'll oftentimes hit me up and go, hey, you should do comedy at my bar. They always say my bar, like they own the fucking gym.
Right.
But, you know, it's a flattering thing to say. I don't mind them saying that to me. But, you know, I mean, they're wildly unaware that all that goes into putting on a show in a bar.
Right. So many bar owners or bartenders think that they just have a comic come and boom, there's business.
Yeah. Yeah. They, it's, there's so much more to it. And as I've, it's surprising that I only figured this out in recent years, as you should ask them if they have a PA or a stage.
Yeah.
Cause as, what happened to us last year when I showed up like, hey, we're here. We're the comics. Like, yeah, we don't have a stage or a PA. Did you bring those things?
Yeah.
So now I ask those questions. But anyways, just got an offer recently, just like I do a lot, which is, hey, you should come do comedy at my bar. I'm like, all right. Are you asking me to be part of a show that's already going on? Are you asking me to produce a show? Do you want just me to show up, do my act, and leave? And she's like,
all questions, by the way, that they have no idea even need to be asked.
Right. Yeah, which with the response, like, I don't care, whatever. You know, like, no, I'm going to need you to answer. I'm going to need you to pick one, please. So they're like, yeah, just come and do a show here. Like, you know, I'm like, all right. And the second question, what does it pay? And that's usually when they go, buh, 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 buh. Like, they have no preparedness to pay anything.
Right.
They just think, oh, he's a guy that loves going to bars and making people laugh.
Yeah.
This is a privilege to him, you know? I'd say about 50% of the time when I say, what's it pay? They go, money. So then she stops talking. I see she read that and obviously went, ugh, and ran away. Then about 6 months later, she hits me up again, like, hey, we'd really like you to do a show here. I talked to my boss about it. It doesn't really pay, but we could give you like, I don't know, $40. I'm like, still no, because in a show that doesn't pay, that means, number one, either I'm going to have to bring all the comics with me, mm-hmm. or they're going to get a bunch of other comics who they're obviously not paying.
Yeah.
Right.
When that happens, you have a show of comics that don't want any money because they don't get booked any other
how.
And I'm like, that's going to be a god-awful show.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have four or five, however many people in front of me, just making a mess of things.
Yeah.
And then I get to go up to an audience that's possibly been angered by these amateurs.
Yeah.
I don't know if someone got up there and said, hey, fag, nice shirt or whatever, because he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. And then I come up like, hey, everyone, and they just start hucking Bud Lights at me.
Though, to be fair, in East County, that is considered a solid opener.
Right, that's true. So anyway, the same bartender then invites me to a show. This is 6 months ago now. This is all happening over the course of a year. I get invited to the show at their bar. I'm like, all right, I want to see who said yes to this.
Right.
And if it came out the way I think it did.
Yeah.
And it abso-motherfucking-lutely did. I click on the event. I look at the flyer. First of all, it's a woman I don't recognize. And if which probably means in this city, she doesn't do comedy at all.
Right, like, absolutely.
One of us would have at least seen her somewhere.
Yeah. or hasn't moved past open mic.
Right, probably that. And it's this woman. She's, Bobby, let me show you the flyer. Dave's already seen it.
Yeah, it's like a sort of a sexy, seductive pose of her. Like, she's not scantily clad, but it's like she's trying to show off that she's hot-ish.
They should never do that. They should always advertise how unhot they are. Because when I see hot, I see you had no excuse to learn to be funny.
Yeah.
I want a leg missing and like some kind of facial disfigurement.
Here's the flyer. So, Bobby, if you can describe what you're seeing there.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so it looks like somebody is doing, you know how porn stars occasionally go to different strip clubs
to
do like weeknight things? That's what the pose she's doing. She's got the lollipop.
Alexis, Texas is going to be down there and get girls, girls, girls.
And then it's
bring your autograph pens, fellas.
Another guy,
a lot of money.
Another guy who I assume makes his entire career off looking strikingly like Timothy Oliphant.
A bunch of people. I recognize one guy on that flyer.
Yeah, yes.
So, anyways, they were able to get him, and then just three other people that I'm willing to bet this is at least one person's first book show ever.
Absolutely.
Now, I also want to point out on the flyer, she's billing herself as the cougar of comedy.
Right. That's the main thing here.
It says it on the flyer twice.
Yes. The cougar of comedy is her name. And also, I guess she may have booked it because it's like the Cougar of Comedy presents. So I always have this problem when people that book shows want to also be just the star of it.
Right.
Just because they put it together. Right. It's their thing. She's gigantic on this flyer. Yeah. Everyone else has little thumbnails of pictures next to her. And so it started to occur to me, there are some people in life whose only goal is to be bar famous. And I mean, not locally famous, you know. I mean, like
ultra locally famous, like at this one bar.
At this one bar, I want to be able to walk in and be like Norm Peterson from Cheers.
Yeah.
I want...
Everyone yells out, Cougar!
Yeah. I want to be able to get more free drinks than not because everyone knows me here.
Right.
And then I run this wildly unfunny show, and then I get to have a smug, don't you know who I am, look, mediocre guys I want to bang.
Now, not only that, though, this is like, if you did a Venn diagram, it would be the overlap between bar famous and between what we talked about recently, where people just want to be able to say that they're a comic.
Right,
this is her. She crossed it off her bucket list. She's like, you know what? I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
Like, that's, it's her, like...
And you switched it, because like we said, there is one guy on that flyer who we do know and who has performed numerous times. He's at the lowest, he's the lowest possible picture. He should be up front. Like you said, it's weird when people decide to produce their own thing and make themselves a star. You don't want to do that. You want to be like BJ Novak. BJ Novak famously wrote The Office. He brought it. It was a super successful show, and he gave himself the most pissant part that gets stepped on, is not nowhere near the main character.
Right.
Yeah. But he did that, and that's why it was successful, because it wasn't him trying to promote himself. It was him trying to make the funniest show he possibly could and knowing his own acting limitations.
Hey, that's why he'll never be bar famous, all right? Right.
He's going to pay for his own fucking cosmos.
He's BJ famous, which is different from why the cougar is BJ famous.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that the one guy that's actually done a show before should be front and center on that flyer. Like, hey, look, we got an actual comic. No, instead, it's this lady like, hey, y'all, I'm sucking on a cherry lollipop. Isn't that something?
Can we just real quick, as I was talking about flyers, can we just mention Dat Fan for a second?
Sure.
Have you've seen his flyers?
Yeah.
They're always just a hodgepodge. First of all, there's so much text on his flyer. It looks like a pamphlet.
Yeah. It looks like a Jehovah's Witness dropped it on my doorstep on Saturday.
Well, to be fair, how else are you supposed to list 45 names?
But yeah, that's the other thing. There's
you gotta
a million
come up
comics.
With a new form of writing.
Let me catch people up. So Dat Fan, famous for winning the first season of Last Comic Standing.
Right.
He's a San Diego guy. Went on to... I'd say tepid success in comedy.
I think he peaked at that show.
He really did. I mean, he never really did any shows or movies after winning that thing. He's a Tuesday night headliner, kind of, you know?
Serviceable.
So anyways, I worked with him many times. He's a nice enough guy, but, you know, didn't really do much. So to make ends meet, ostensibly, he runs is it once a month, would you say, bringer show?
I forget.
He recruits a bunch of people he's very honest, like, listen, if you want to say you opened for Dat Fan, here's 10 tickets, sell them to your friends, and then you can come, you know, play for a packed audience at a real club opening for a legit headliner, and for a lot of people, that makes sense.
It's not as good a credit as Carl, the guy with no boundaries who works in the office.
Right, right.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people can say, you know, they opened for Soapy Joe over here, but don't worry about that. No, so anyways, then he makes these flyers with all these people he's recruited to be on his bringer show.
It's like 10 or 12 comics.
It's a lot.
But the weirdest thing to me is, like, he sort of photoshops it a little bit with things that are happening currently. Like, the flyer that's out right now, I didn't look at it closely, but something like he's Ant-Man. And, like, someone else is, like, Star Wars character, and then someone else is from another movie, then the rest of them are just normal.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing, dude? Either go full on or don't.
Yeah, I remember last year he put out that flyer with Harambe being murdered. Yeah, that was that was a weird one. Recently, did I tell you that I had a threatening gentleman come at me?
I saw that unfold.
I saw it on Facebook, and it made me want to revive one of our ideas. But keep going, because we've got to catch the audience up.
So for those of you that don't know, I have this kooky little thing I do. I have an Excel spreadsheet, and it's full of names of people that have threatened violence against me on the internet.
Yep.
Bobby's on there twice.
It happens about 5 or 6 times a year where people come at me all the time and say troll things, but rarely do they get to the point where, like, no, I'm going to find you and I'm going to fucking hurt you.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill you. I'm going to come to one of your shows with a gun, whatever it is. It's always something. And I always respond, no, you're not. No, you're not. And they always, that gets them more. Oh, yes, I am.
That's the best response because they are expecting you to come back with something. So when you say, no, you're not, you're kind of like, yeah.
And it's great. You see them get all fuming like, no, you don't know. You'll see. You'll see. And it happens. And they won't let it go. And then, you know, they usually block me, whatever. But I keep their name in my Excel spreadsheet. You know, like Eric Fredrickson on March 3rd said he was going to shoot me. And then 3 times a year, if it takes me starting up a bogus profile real quick with using my real name, I contact him and went, hey, it's Ryan Shores. 3 months ago, you said you were going to kill me. I just want to let you know you haven't done shit yet. Ha ha. You're never going to do anything ever. Never.
This is great. I love that you do this.
And the response is, oh, you'll see. Oh, I'm getting around to it.
I'm on an 8-9 month murder spree. You're just at the end.
There's one guy, the oldest guy, or the guy that I've had contact with the longest. 2 years. 4 times a year, a profile hits him up. Hey, you still haven't done anything. It's been 2 years. So anyway, another guy made my list. This guy was one of Aaron's creeps. As you guys know, if someone says something creepy to my wife online, I like to jump in and start poking.
Oh, yeah. He was a little graphic and way over the line.
Yes. He said he wanted to suck on our tits or something. And he did the classic fuckboy move when, like, me, Aaron, and maybe one or two other people were like, dude, you're gross. He came back with a, no, I was just messing around. Like, I just, you know, I'm not even into this gross bitch. Like, I was just saying it because, like, you know, I only get, like, really hot chicks and really skinny chicks. And, like, I just, you know.
And I got a wife. I'm married. I don't know.
The joke was, like, wouldn't it be funny if I was into this chick? Like, what?
No, not
even. I liked his excuse of, no, I don't like her. Just the tits.
Yeah, that was great. That was great. Yeah, I don't like her. I just like her tits. Yeah.
Like, could you get a piece of plywood, cut 2 holes out.
It was just the last time I used a similar tactic, I think I was in sixth grade, when I asked Shauna Goldberg out, and I was like, hey, do you want to maybe go out? And she went, no. And I went, yeah, I know. I don't want to go to you either, because, like, I was just messing around, because, like, you're totally gross, and, like, why would I want to go out with you? That was kind of like the joke, but I got to go, but wasn't it funny what I just did, like, my little joke there? That was the last time I employed that tactic. This guy looks easily 30.
Yeah.
Now, the escalation, though, was amazing. You posted, he started sending you direct messages.
Oh, immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately. So with this, already a few people have like poked him, and he was already doing like the. You remind me of that scene in the biopic of Babe Ruth that John Goodman did in the 90s, where people are yelling that he's a bum, and he tries to go up and fight everyone in the stands, and then he's being held down, and people are pelting him with beers. He's like, "You're all cowards!"
Yeah,
it reminded me of that. I just jump in. I'm like, I don't know where to start. And I looked at his profile. He is in a fitting room in a big fur coat with like a Gucci t-shirt and like these big sunglasses, like doing duck lips. Not ironically.
Right.
All of his photos.
He had numerous photos doing duck lips, which should automatically, just you, the fact that you do that means that legally you should never be allowed to threaten somebody.
Right. And what was his name? I know his last name was Giovanni or something. But anyways,
He lives in New York.
Anyway, he looks identical to a Staten Island's The Situation type dude.
Yep.
So anyways.
Yeah, what did you call him? The Incident?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, check out The Incident over here. And he's like, I'll fucking kill you. And like, then, like right away, he's like, you fucking bitch. You fucking, like, all of a sudden, right as this is happening, I get a notification. Gabe Giovanni wants to connect with you. I'm like, well, I can't miss out on this. I hit accept. He's like, I have it here because I don't want to misquote him. By the way, his name, if you guys want to look him up on Facebook, please feel free and remind him that he's still not done anything. It's been a week.
Yeah.
Gabriel Gabby Giovanni. That's Gabriel, like it's the normal spelling, then G-A-B-I, then Giovanni with 2 N's. So anyways, he comes right at me. By the way, this guy's white. Keep that in mind. You want to make jokes, bitch-ass nigga? I'll fuck you up. I'll fuck you up, Cali Beach Boy, piece of shit. And I said, you aren't going to do anything.
Which, again, that's always the best thing to come back with.
Yes,
it
is.
And he responds, learn who I am first, bro. And I said, a no, buddy. That set him off. No. I would do it in person. You know who my family is? I think the name alone should tell you something, faggot. So he's implying he's in the mafia.
Right, right.
And your mother last night psyched my kook.
Yeah, his spelling and grammar were atrocious.
Your mother last night psyched my kook. You pussy, I'll fuck you.
Yes, yep. Yes. Then he threatens to fuck you, to actually fuck you.
He's in white trash, ugly ass. You are ugly. Okay, now everyone get your popcorn out and buckle in. Go shave your balls, bitch, and ass choke so I can fuck. No, this is all misspelled here. So I can fuck you like a bitch. You are that.
This has started to turn into a Tinder date. Like, it has gone from threats to like, hey, so could you like maybe shave and we'll go out and get some wine? And we'll just...
I respond, no, thank you. He responds, faggot.
Do you just respond, irony?
And he goes, before I can do that, he goes, bro, do you know who I am? I'm a 220 fighter. I would thrash you.
A 220 fighter, yeah.
Let's just break that down.
Well, that is so not that is neither a boxing nor MMA weight class.
Right, so that's the first thing. So first of all, he's abandoned that he's in the mob.
Right.
Because now he's a professional MMA fighter, right. I'm guessing. And so here's what's hilarious about saying I'm a 220 fighter. First of all, you would say what weight class you are, which goes by names like light, heavy, welterweight, right. Something like this. He just went with 220. Like Bobby said, not a weight class in either boxing,
right.
Wrestling, or MMA.
Right.
If you weigh 220 naturally, you could fight at heavyweight, but you'd be giving up 45 pounds to somebody. Yeah. That's not a good idea. Furthermore, if you walk around at 220, you should definitely cut down to 205, which is called light heavy.
Yep.
So, okay, I know I'm getting technical, but here's what makes this all so funny. It's not so much that he's lying about being a combat sports participant. It's that he's too lazy to even watch it on TV to see if what he's saying makes sense.
Now, here's something to think about. I just thought of this. Given his penchant for poor typing, bad grammar, whatever, it's possible that he was trying to say he's a 22-0 fighter, which I think would be even funnier.
Yes.
Well, I mean, and also you can look up any records. It's just such a silly thing to claim.
Right, right. If anyone's, I mean, you can't look up if someone's an amateur most of the time, but if they're claiming to be a professional fighter, go to SureDog.com. Yeah. It's a database of every sanctioned professional fight there's ever been.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. That is a good one. Did it ever escalate to a point where you were able to narrow it down a time span? Were you like, all right, listen, I hear you're gonna kill me. When are you gonna do it? I just want
to
know.
Oh, believe me, I really wanted to keep him going, but he blocked me. So I entered his name in my Excel spreadsheet, and in 4 months, I will be talking to Gabriel Gabby Giovanni. Reminding him, he still hasn't done shit. He still hasn't done shit. The mafia never came for me. You're not a 220 fighter.
Shores put a note next to his name. He's like, likes Aaron's tits, wants to fuck me.
Yes.
He wants guy.
He wants me to wear Aaron's tits via Silence of the Lambs, Ed Gein shit, and shave my ass choke.
Yeah, that reminds me of the idea that we had on the show a while back, which was to create like an internet troll MMA fight league where somebody says they make a threat online, I'm gonna kick your ass, and then we set up a legal bout that they sign on to because they
like an Indian reservation probably.
Right, exactly. They have to sign up just like you would a normal fight, and the condition is as long as you show up, we cover the airfare, we cover the rental fee and everything like that. But if you back out, because you know 90% of these guys would back out the second they got a shot.
Oh yeah.
You are then responsible for the 10 grand in rental fees and airfare and everything like that.
Yep.
If you did that, that would quell the internet trollingness so much. Because guys like this, when faced with the fact that, yes, we're going to do this, we're going to tape it, we're going to put it online, your friends and family are going to see that you talk shit and then get your ass kicked, I think it would stop talking shit as much.
By the way, I know what some of you are thinking, because some people have already said it to me when I posted it online, my whole thing about the Excel spreadsheet and taunting them three times a year. Some of you are like, dude, that's funny and all, but you're going to come across one wacko and you're going to push him too far, and that's going to be the guy that like murders you on stage like Dimebag Daryl or something. And to that, I just want to point out, if that ever happens, I win. Here is how I view that. Number one, I am of the belief that when I'm dead, I won't know it. Yes, there'll be a moment where I see a guy run up on stage with a fucking Beretta, and I'm going to go, oh, shit.
Right.
But that's the last thing I'll know. I won't know I'm dead, and I'll go into that big good night. Number two, I have nearly $300,000 of life insurance on me.
Right.
Aaron's going to be fine.
Yeah.
She is going to probably bring a date to that funeral. So she's good. My family's good. I won't know I'm dead. They'll go to jail for life. I'll know that right before I go out, I'm going to know I really got to him. And here's the best part. When he goes to jail for killing me, you know what that's going to be listed as in the papers and forever online? That I was killed by a crazed fan. And that is going to be the ultimate.
That is a good burn. That's a good going out burn.
He's going to be labeled as a fan of mine, a crazed, deranged fan. It's going to bug him till he goes to the fucking gas chamber. Yeah. Well,
you also get to haunt the comedy club now, so that's another
bug. Oh, and my picture's going up. You kill me, you make me a martyr.
Yeah, oh, dude, people will start saying nice things about you.
Finally!
Dude, I got a better idea than Bobby's internet fight thing.
Huh.
You guys know the urban legend about the Phil Collins song, In the Air Tonight?
Yeah.
Like somebody drowned.
Supposedly, somebody drowned someone else, and Phil Collins saw it happen, tracked the guy down.
He's playing drums.
Invited the guy to a show, gave him front row tickets, and sang the song to him as the cops came out and arrested him.
Is that a real thing?
No, it's an urban legend.
Oh, okay.
But it's because the lyrics of the song.
Legend. I just thought it was about him watching somebody drown.
No, it's about him seeing someone.
I thought it was about him drowning somebody in a tub.
But we should.
While he played drums,
we should do that for Shores. We should set up a comedy show.
Don't
bill it as a Shores headline. Bill it as a comedy show. Invite all these people on a spreadsheet. Send them tickets. Invite them all to the show. Then, like, ladies and gentlemen, your comic this evening, and Ryan Shores comes out, and it's this room full of his trolls.
And I just rainbow some pee right into the middle of the
house.
Pick
out, you, like, point at each individual one and tell the story.
Yeah, hey. I'll be like the Oprah of antagonization. I'll be like, you didn't do shit, and you didn't do shit, and you didn't do shit. Nobody did any shit.
Your entire biker club didn't do anything.
Let's make this happen.
Oh, this is fantastic. And then finally, sitting at the far end will be the Toyota Tacoma bumper that he sexually harassed during the commercial.
Oh, God.
I mean, we could end right there, but I would be remiss if we didn't bring up the fight that's happening next week.
Oh, I think it's the best card of the year.
I want to make
awesome
sure that
card.
We talk about MMA at the end of shows from now on, because I know like two-thirds of our audience is like, I do not give a fuck.
Unless it's a crazed Italian dude on the other side of the country making threats.
So, yeah, feel free to tune out for the next 2 seconds, but unless you want to hear Bobby's top drop, right. I hope enough of you are a fan of that like I am.
That's right. Yeah, so this fight coming up on the 7th is amazing. It's got not only two title fights, but it's got one of the most under-promoted fights of all time. Because a while back, Conor McGregor unified the featherweight and the lightweight belts. That's 145 and 155.
Now he's going for 220, right?
Yeah. The fight was gigantic. Like, it was huge. It was promoted. First time ever. A guy's going to be fighting for both belts, blah, 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 blah. Daniel Cormier is doing that this time, only he's fighting, he is the light heavyweight champion, he is fighting the heavyweight champion, and that's a 60-pound weight difference. So, like, that is a much bigger difference.
So your question is...
Well, one of my things is, why isn't the UFC promoting this more? Because they promoted the Conor thing way
Well, Cormier's
more.
Black, so...
Yeah. Well, he's also... Cormier is one of the commentators. Like, it's not like Cormier is... He's one of the biggest names in MMA,
yes.
So he's not like just some nobody.
And also, Stipe, he set the record for title defenses.
Yes. Yes, he's fighting. That's a very good point. He's fighting a heavyweight champ who has the record and the current streak for the most heavyweight title defenses, and who's fought, by the way, really good heavyweights. He's not just going through paper champs. And so this is going to be huge. Also, Brian Ortega is about to take the 145 belt.
Debatable.
Which is going to be awesome. Awesome.
Holloway's going to fucking cream him like corn.
Best young fighter in MMA right now.
Let me tell you. So here's why I think it's not being promoted as much is number one, when Conor did it, and you know I'm. I am like the Trump supporter of Conor McGregor.
That's true.
Just no matter
that
how
much. That bus deserved it. It was talking shit.
No matter how many horrible things he does, I'm like, I'm still on board.
Yes, yeah. Conor, I will shave my balls so you can fuck me.
I have a separate expel sheet that just has his face stippled out. Anyways, no. So when Conor did it, it had only been attempted once before, but never completed.
Mm-hmm.
Now when Cormier's doing it, Conor already accomplished this.
True.
So it's already been done.
True, but he did it to a much lower extent. A 10-pound weight difference is not that big. Those guys interchange those weight classes all the time. A 205 to 265, that's huge.
And also, Conor knew how to use the Muhammad Ali method of promoting, where he was talking a lot of shit. He was jumping up and down. He was grabbing the other guy's belt. You know, so like Cormier is, to his own detriment, a classy champion.
Right.
And so is Stipe. So they're just kind of like, oh, well, I'm going to win. Well, I disagree.
I will fight as hard as I can, and I will honor you by doing that in the ring.
I don't think that he's seen a wrestler like me. Well, conversely, I don't think he's seen a striker like me. Well, we'll just see that, won't we?
Yes.
So that's not exactly like the blood boiling, like, oh, grudge match kind of thing.
But you are looking at the best 205 in the world who's not named John Jones fighting the best heavyweight in the world.
I understand that. However,
I still think that even though I didn't win, I still think Gus is better than
I actually think Gus is better than Cormier as well.
But he beat him already.
That's not on my scorecard.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a very close fight. It wasn't some horrible like travesty or whatever. That could have gone both ways, but I had it slightly in Gus.
All right. Okay. Well, Gus can fight the winner of this fight.
Yeah.
So anyways, we'll see how that goes.
Who do you got, by the way? Who do you got?
By the way, every person on that card, it's one of those rare ones where even if you look at your undercard is like Uriah Hall and stuff. Like, even the undercard is awesome fighters. The entire card is stacked. If you get a chance to watch any UFC, watch the one on July 7th.
I've got Stipe. Reasons being is that Cormier is a good striker. He's certainly demonstrated some great boxing skills for a wrestler. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got some knockouts on his record, but you know, he's not a striker. He's a submission grappler. I just think the weight difference is too much. It's going to be too much for him. I think he's going to get caught. He almost got caught a couple times fighting Rumble Johnson.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about a much bigger opponent. Whereas he was able to shake off that power left from Rumble barely. I don't think he's going to be able to shake off a Stipe left hook.
Yeah, I also have Stipe. The size is going to be a big factor, but the reach is going to be a really big one.
The reach, and also, as a wrestler, Cormier walks around naturally at what Stipe is going to have to cut to and be much heavier by fight time.
Yeah.
And as a wrestler myself, when you're dealing with that big of a size difference, suddenly what has been effective your entire life all of a sudden doesn't feel effective anymore.
Yeah, and Daniel obviously has a lot of experience wrestling really big guys that are good wrestlers, like Cain Velasquez, his training partner. But at the same time, that's striking. Miocic has really, really good boxing from the outside, which can keep guys like him at bay. Also, you saw Cormier struggle against John Jones's reach.
That was did.
Certainly his low point. And he was able to still grab a hold of John Jones and move him around a little bit. He's not going to be able to do that to somebody of Stipe size.
Absolutely
who, by the way, has some pretty good wrestling credentials of his own.
Yeah.
And so I have to see Stipe take this, and then I see Brian Ortega being our new 145 champ.
I think it's unanimous. Stipe is going to win. He's going to play piano at the end of the night and drink some Cuervo.
All right, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week, cruising with the twos. You pussy, I'll fuck you. Ooh, 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 yeah, time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing by.